places. Everyone.
We're now broadcasting.
Roll the tape in. 3, 2.
A new audio drama.
Appaloosa Radio is where stories come alive.
Leader Rona Yen PBLZ reporting as requested, sir.
You may stand at ease, Cadet Squad Leader. I have been reviewing the performance of this EPUC's graduating class. I am pleased to share that Squad CBZ-678 had the overall highest marks, and most importantly, the highest rate of graduation success of any cadet squad. Congratulations on your excellent leadership.
Thank you, sir. We have worked extremely hard to perform at the level that the Empire Shah Yoth expects for its military officers.
Based on your outstanding performance at the Military Tactics College, I believe you will prove to be an excellent officer for the Empire.
Thank you, sir. Your commendation means a great deal to me.
I see that your specialization is intelligence. Cadet, you are about to receive your very first military assignment. It is an assignment that is of utmost importance to the Empire. It is an assignment against our most hated enemy, the Kingdom Jaji. However, because of some silly treaties that some traitors to the Empire foolishly signed, we cannot deal with our hated enemy by direct military action. We must address the matter through clandestine means.
Appaloosa Radio offers an original audio drama, City of 4,000 Spies, Episode 3. I am Juni.
I see that your specialization is intelligence. Cadet, you are about to receive your very first military assignment. It is an assignment that is of utmost importance to the Empire. It is an assignment against our most hated enemy, the Kingdom Jaji. However, because of some silly treaties that some traitors to the Empire foolishly signed, we cannot deal with our hated enemy by direct military action. We must address the matter through clandestine means. Do you understand my intent, Cadet?
Yes, sir, I do. My loyalty to the Empire's new leader is absolute. I will do all that is within my power to fulfill our national ambitions, to destroy our hated enemy, to restore the fallen honor of the Empire Shayut. I am ready for this assignment.
Good. Let me be the very first to congratulate you. You are here with designated Junior Intelligence Officer Bielzi. Now, I believe that you are due a vacation, a celebration for your hard work, an extended party, 2 weeks of pure fun in the beautiful resort city of Lel.
It had been 6 demanding and very grueling years, but the four of us from Squad CVZ-678 had finally reached graduation. Over 98% of our fellow cadets had been dismissed from the program, washed out as they say. Some failed for lack of psychological toughness. Some failed because they lacked the leadership necessary to lead warriors into mortal combat. Some failed because they did not possess the necessary physical stamina. Some failed because they made stupid mistakes. Some failed because of an undesirable attitude. Many failed because the regime was too intense. However, the four of us had made it. We were now junior officers in the military of the Empire Shayut. The four of us. Black Sai, who came from an old family, one whose history is strewn with many military heroes of the Empire. Disco Rego, the second son of the 19th great nobleman of Sasko. We all called him Domino. Rona, our squad leader. She comes from the manufacturing classes and from a people who have only recently joined the Empire. And me. Juni, a shapeshifter and opportunist from one of the Empire's wealthiest families. All of us were now junior military officers of the Empire Shayut.
The four of them came together to Fabulous Lel to celebrate their graduation from the Empire's Military Tactics College, the prestige institution for future military and security officers of the Empire Shayut. The Military Tactics College, where the Empire's elite young officer corps learn how to lead its massive armies in the unending wars. The Military Tactics College, where the spies of the Empire learn their craft. The Military Tactics College, where with every breath, contempt, and hatred for the Kingdom JG was espoused. The Military Tactics College, where thousands of cadets entered and where after 6 grueling and demanding years only a mere handful graduated. So, the four squad mates came to Lel for a fortnight's celebration. Lel, the posh resort city by the lake of many colors, where every recreational opportunity, drug, potion, or experience is just a click away, efficiently delivered to your luxury suite and, of course, charged directly to your account. Come to Lel for a fortnight's celebration, Rona suggested. All quickly agreed.
Welcome to all of you. For the next 2 hours, sit back and relax on our special boat tour through the remarkable Lake of Many Colors. The city of Lel lies on the remarkable Lake of Many Colors, where 100 million fragments merge and remerge into billions and billions of patterns. One can spend multiple lifetimes watching its fantastic, ever-swirling waves and never, not even once, see a representation repeated. Enjoy your afternoon on our magnificent lake.
One comes to Lel to watch the lake. No, Lel is an international city where guests from a million different sectors are fully welcomed, as long as their cash holds out. It is where one comes to mine the most precious mineral of all, the mineral of information. They say that the resort city of Lel has over 4,000 spies. That's not counting the taxi drivers, the hotel staff, the far cart dealers in the casino, the uni barkeepers, the Antonine fortune tellers, and the ever-present Coopsie girls. Any one of whom will gladly gather whatever information that is requested, for a sizable tip. Lel is where information is acquired, bartered, stolen, resold, confirmed, and falsified. Rumors, rumors about rumors, and the possibility of even more rumors fill the luxury suites with spies of every shape, size, language family, and quadrant of origin.
No one, I do mean no one, would come to Lel simply to watch the miracle colors of the lake. Really, one comes to the city to mine the most precious mineral of all, the mineral of information. The mineral of information. Nothing is more precious. Nothing is worth less. Nothing is more sought. Nothing is so easily discarded. Lel is where information is acquired, bartered, stolen, resold, confirmed, and falsified. Rumors, rumors about rumors, and the possibility of even more rumors fill the luxury suites with spies of every shape, size, language family, and quadrant of origin. Each spy seeks the same product, the very elusive mineral of information.
The story I am sharing is about one such spy. He may have been real or simply the creation of a down-and-out writer of trashy fiction. Or, he may have been the combination of many spies from many different realms, a permutation from many sources.
Personally, I believe he was real, and like me, one who speaks the language of the long-ago Earth, where creatures communicated by using their lungs to power the vibrating strings of vocal cords, or as the ancient poets would say, through the spoken word.
Of course, creatures from thousands of other sectors find such a means of communication barbaric, wholly unsuitable for modern transactions. Yet, we who were once from Earth cling to it. Since Lel was once our colony, we required vocal language of all who come. Communicate how you will among your own kind. Here on Lel, we require spoken language. Use mechanical translators, if you must, but here, public conversations must be spoken out loud.
You may have been deceived, thinking this was a play by a company of actors. Or maybe, you've already figured it out. There is only one actor in this drama. I am Juni. Only me. Juni, the shapeshifter. Juni, the opportunist. Junie, Domino's squadmate. Junie, his friend. At the Military Tactics College, I shared accommodations with Noble Sandus Correco, the second son of the great nobleman of Sasco, but to me, he was always Domino, the key member of our squad. Like me, Domino became a spy for the Empire Chariote. However, unlike me, he was good at it. He survived by skill and his wits. On the other hand, I survived, as I always have, by shifting. I shift from individual to individual, species to species, character to character, form to form. I am one who can become anything. As I have previously said, I am Domino's friend. Rareco's friend. I know what no one else knows. I am his friend. These events happened long ago, while we were still young. My mind and my body are failing, still, I will tell it honestly and without unnecessary embellishment. I am Junie. I am Domino's friend.
Even though I appear to be a student celebrating her graduation with her squad mates, I am really here in Lel on a secret enterprise that is of utmost importance to the Empire Chariote. Before I left the Military Tactics College, one of the college's senior military officers called me to his office. "Cadet," he gravely said, "you are about to receive your very first military assignment. Select one of your squad mates but tell them none of the details. The assignment must be completed while you are still in the city of Lel, during your purported graduation celebration trip. I am pleased to be selected for such an important assignment even before I have proven my full combat potential. As you may know, it was only with great sacrifice that my family could acquire the resources to send me to the Military Tactics College. My family comes from the manufacturing classes. I am from a people who have recently joined the Empire. I was selected Cadet Squad Leader because I am fully committed and loyal to our new leader, the Major. I share his profound desire to modernize the Empire. I share his desire to destroy our enemies. I seek to return honor to the Empire. I commit my total being to the successful completion of this mission. I share his profound desire to modernize the Empire. I share his desire to destroy our enemies. I seek to return honor to the Empire. I commit my total being to the successful completion of this mission. I commit my total being to the successful completion of this mission.
The story I am sharing takes place in a time of relative peace. There had been many, many wars between the Kingdom JG and its allies and the Empire Chariote. Some wars were short and decisive. Others lasted for millennia with no resolution. Sometimes, there would be a substantive technological advancement and one side would benefit from it. Of course, it would not be long before the other would acquire the technology, and there would be parity again between the powers. This story occurs during a time of perceived peace, after a treaty had been signed by all parties. The Kingdom JG seemed to be the victor in the latest series of wars, but it was now exhausted from the effort. So, it was a victory that bred weakness. On the other hand, while the Empire Chariote had lost and was forced to pay massive reparations, it had not been weakened by the war. Critical mistakes had led to a military catastrophe. Some in the Empire had spread the rumor that traitors had sold the noble people out in exchange for a pittance of silver coin, another ancient expression of unknown meaning. A new leader, an outsider with no loyalties to the traditional military elite families of the Empire, had emerged. His first priority had been to ruthlessly eradicate the old elite families. His second was to annihilate the hated Kingdom JG. He secretly planned and prepared for the next war. This usurper had a name, but most simply called him the Major.
Dushko Wirko, the second son of the 19th great nobleman of Saskoa, would, over his career, participate in over 100 missions. He came to be Lel's most recognizable spy. He was handsome, athletic, and ingenious. He wore flashy high-end fashion and drove a speeder that broke 1.75. He was seldom seen without a bevy of beautiful females and was often described with that old-fashioned word playboy, although no one knew what it meant. He looked the part of a spy. He moved in the nuanced way that spies moved. If you asked him, "What is your occupation?" he would smugly smile and say, "I am a spy, of course." If you would follow up with another question, "Who are you spying for?" he would again smirk, "Whoever pays me the most." However, he was already wealthy beyond imagination. The 19th great nobleman of Sasko, Mirko's father, controlled the known deposits of MBY-23, a necessary component to the process of creating something out of what historically was regarded as nothingness. MBY-23 was an exceedingly valuable commodity. Not only was it functionally critical, but also its presence was highly localized. Through fortuitous action and considerable chicanery, the small kingdom of Sasko came to control the known deposits of MBY-23. Thus, becoming wealthy beyond every measure.
My beloved second son, you are approaching your manly maturity and you need to prepare for what must lie ahead. In contrast to the gigantic military complexes of the two dominant powers, the Kingdom Jeji and the Empire Shayot, our beloved Sasko is the merest of specks, a proverbial fly that could be swatted away with the merest brush of military action. My father's fathers, the great noblemen before me, have long known of our weakness. As a result, we have chosen to cast ourselves as a neutral among the great powers, selling an exactly equal amount of MBY-23 to both the Kingdom Jeji and to the Empire Shayot. If any of the powers sought conquest of our beloved Sasko, we have long warned, the available supply of MBY-23 would be destroyed, utterly eliminated forever. No longer would any power be able to convert nothingness into stuff. Our neutrality has worked. Better, all have agreed, to allow our tiny Sasko to exist. Better for us. We can continue making our enormous profits from selling the MBY-23. Tiny, yes, but ever so rich.
Rona kept her secret well. No one else knew of it. She seemed to be having fun in a place of unlimited pleasure. We did not know that she was actually planning an audacious action of international significance. An act that would break the short peace and propel the Empire Shayot into yet another war with the Kingdom Jeji. With it, she would prove her loyalty and value to the Empire. And, with it, 9 million combatants would die. Rona was assigned to assassinate the first Prime Ambassador of GJE, an individual believed by the Major and the Empire to be the Kingdom's principal director of spying operations. They believed, correctly it now seems, that the first Prime Ambassador had learned of the surprise attack that the Major and his military command had been planning, learning that the attack would begin first with a massive sweep into neutral nations including Rareko's world Sasko. The first Prime Ambassador was in Lel with a minimal entourage for what the Empire judged to be surveillance activity. This would be the perfect time to strike. Having a young cadet carry out the assassination, particularly one who was not of Shayut military lineage, gave the opportunity for deniability should the attempt fail.
Even though I appear to be a student celebrating her graduation with her squad mates, I am really in Lel on a secret enterprise that is of utmost importance to the Empire Shayut. Before I left the Military Tactics College, one of the college's senior military officers called me to his office. "Cadet," he gravely said, "you are about to receive your very first military assignment. Select one of your squad mates but tell them none of the details. The assignment must be completed while you are still in the city of Lel, during your purported graduation celebration trip." I will not fail. I will not fail. I will not fail.
After graduation, our friendly foursome celebrated by traveling together to Lel. Lel, the wonderful, posh resort where you can get anything. I had been to Lel many times with my family, it was a favorite of my mother. She was one of the few that I ever knew who spent her time observing the lake. She said that watching the multiple extraordinary transformations satisfied her soul. I never quite understood what she meant, but as a youngster was more than willing to watch the lake, for a while, anyway. My father also enjoyed our trips to Lel, but for quite different reasons. He enjoyed many of the pleasures that were forbidden in the Empire. It was also a place where he could meet business contacts, many of whom were on the sketchier side. So, for me, it was a perfect place to celebrate our graduation. During our time in Lel, Rerko had scheduled himself for a race and spent much of his time readying his speeder. Like me, Rerko had been to Lel many times, and, like my father, had sampled many of the special pleasures that were available only there. However, unlike my father, Rerko had a discerning palate, preferring only the best of the best. He would forego rather than imbibe poor quality. On this graduation trip, he focused solely on the coming race, and, so, took only nutrition that would improve his reflexes. Nor did he join the rest of us in our all-night, all-the-time, celebrations. Blacksai had come from an ancient and austere military family that disapproved of all the pleasures that Lel featured. It was his first time there, and he loved its posh, hedonistic freedom. On several evenings, he became so intoxicated that he had to be wheeled back to his accommodations. It did not bother me. I knew that his lack of control came from his inexperience. However, it did bother Rona, really bothered her. Rona had come from the manufacturing classes, from a people group recently conquered by the Empire. She was a perpetual striver, seeking to prove her loyalty and her value to the Empire. She was also Rerko's stormy lover, intensely passionate one day, but then intensely antagonistic the next. She could be cunning, manipulative, and overbearing. She could also be brave, compassionate, and genuinely empathetic. She matched, I thought, the churning, tumbling, unpredictable beauty of Lel's famous lake.
My orders had been to select one of my squad mates to join me on my secret mission. But which one should I select? Tactically, the question could be answered by considering how I intend to carry out the mission. If I chose a close-in attack with personal weapons, then the shifter, Juni, would be the obvious choice. He could assume a form that mimicked members of the Prime Ambassador's entourage and perform a stealth attack from inside the Ambassador's security perimeter. However, as I evaluated the idea, I came to reject both an attack with personal weapons and using the shifter, Juni. The most effective personal weapon would be some form of a grenade, preferably a grenade triggered during a suicide attack. But, the Prime Ambassador probably wore some form of protective armor that might protect him from an attack by personal weapons, including a suicide grenade attack. Additionally, even though the Prime Ambassador's entourage was small, it was no doubt well trained. Most certainly, they would have devised strategies that prevent close-in attacks by personal weapons. I could visualize the security entourage falling on the Prime Ambassador or shoving him out of the way or activating some form of force field armor. Yes, the shifter could no doubt get in close, but there is no guarantee of success. Then, there was the other issue. I knew that the shifter had an incredible ability to endure in extreme situations. Part of that ability, I reasoned, must be a will to live, a desire to survive, a volonté de vivre. Shifters could not commit suicide. Their system makeup would not permit it. Even though I detested the idea, I began to consider ways that I could use Blacksai to carry out my assignment. His highest marks were in physical conditioning. He was large and very muscular, good at pushing things out of the way. He also had a bullish bravery. He would charge headlong into an enemy stronghold. But he looked like a military officer of the Empire. His face, his body, his posture, his gait, all bore the distinct characteristics of his ancient military lineage. There is no hiding who he is. He could play no role in a subterfuge. Then, there was Domino. Dosko Rutko, multi-talented, multilingual, urbane, sophisticated. Certainly, a man who could kill another without qualms. A man of persuasion. Who else could have convinced members of his own squad to voluntarily sacrifice their lives to save the others? Most certainly, Rutko could readily kill the Kingdom of Jay's Prime Ambassador. He could do so efficiently, effectively, and most likely get away without notice. But, for him to do so would make no sense. Mirko was not from the Empire. He was the son of the great nobleman of Sasko. That was where his loyalties lay. It would not benefit Sasko to have the first Prime Ambassador killed. Sasko survived on its neutrality. I knew Domino as one who has often made love with him. I had seen him in the most intimate of moments. I know him so well, and yet I have always felt that I do not know him. He is a stranger. An intimate stranger, yes, but still a stranger. I could never be certain that what he said was what he really thought. He said he was a spy. Publicly admitted it. It was an aspect of his person that he advertised, one that everyone knew. But who was he spying for? One never knew.
Johnny again. Remember, I can be anything. But, back to the story I was sharing. Rona had only until the end of the graduation trip to carry out her mission, to show the Empire her loyalty and usefulness. She knew it was a test, one that would determine her future career path. In spite of her many doubts, she chose Domino, Dushko Urko, to assist her in carrying out her clandestine mission. It may have been a rational choice based on likelihood of success. Or, it may have been an irrational choice based on her ever-changing feelings about one she loved. However, Domino was preoccupied with other matters. He had come to Luxurious Lel to race his speeder. He was fixed on thoughts of improved performance, especially in the tight twists of the course around the lake. He was most definitely not interested in carrying out an assassination assignment for the Empire. Besides, Urko's father, the great nobleman, was coming to see his son race. It had been years since they had the opportunity to be together.
First tried seduction. She had great beauty and was most desirable. Rerko had often enjoyed the pleasures of her body, and, as a result, was frequently amenable to her requests.
I lay my head onto the sand, next to you, my dear old friend. I reach out and grab your hand, take you to the promised land. I lay my head onto the sand, next to you, my dear old friend. I reach out and grab your hand.
However, these days in Lel were filled with preparations for the race. His studies at the Military Tactics College had precluded his racing activities. He needed to get back to them. And, to be brutally honest, Rerko found speed a greater thrill than sex. She tried a mental game, tricking him into joining her. Rona was quite good at such trickery, expertly planning how to entice and trap. However, time was short and not all of the elements of a well-devised trap were available in the resort city. Besides, lethargy had overtaken both the shifter Johnny and the bruiser Blackseye. And as I previously shared, Rerko was strictly focused on preparing for the race. Rona contemplated doing the task by herself, but she was one for whom orders meant exactly what they said. It was not her discretion to attempt the assassination alone. Finally, she cornered Rarko in a private place and told him the unblemished truth. He was now an officer in the Empire's military command structure. As his superior, she ordered him to join her on a secret assignment. Rarko was silent for a full moment before asking one straightforward question.
How do you plan to carry this out?
Rona began a complicated plan involving switching vehicles, entering hidden storerooms, wearing disguises, and finally committing the act in a semi-public place.
Rona began a complicated plan involving switching vehicles, entering hidden storerooms, wearing disguises, and finally committing the act in a semi-public place. Rarko heard her out without comment. Then, he said that her plan would not work. No. We'll use a microdrone to administer a neurotoxin while he sleeps in his luxury suite. No witnesses. No complications. It will seem an insect bite. Complete deniability. Even though Rona had been tasked to lead the secret enterprise, she instantly abandoned her own previous plans and adopted Rarko's. Simplicity overwhelms complexity. The necessary tasks began instantly clear, but the time was short. Rona had been provided detailed images of the Prime Ambassador's luxury suite, maps of the building, and schedules and routines of all the resort's staff members. What she did not have was the microdrone or the neurotoxin. She tasked Rarko with finding both. Neither Rona nor Rarko had ever piloted a microdrone. They would have to find one soon, so they would have an opportunity to practice.
Rarko heard her out without comment. Then he said that her plan would not work. No.
Rona returned to her accommodations from the meeting to find another message transmitted in code from her superiors in the Empire's spy command. The first Prime Ambassador was cutting his stay in Lel short. They now had only 2 days to carry out their plan.
Rosie studied the images that Rona had been given depicting the first Prime Ambassador's suite, he noticed strange conical structures in various places.
Just as I thought. They have installed signal blockers, so no signal from outside can penetrate the suite.
Rona instantly realized the importance of Rerko's discovery. What had been a simple operation was now considerably more complex.
We'll have to control the drone by direct thought transference, a less than sure way of communication. Direct thought transference requires synchronizing one's thought waves with the object you want to control. It is an old technology. One that had been largely abandoned because it could be very unreliable. One random thought, maybe the perception of needing to urinate or an unusual or unexpected smell, can break the synchronization. The smaller the distance between the object being controlled and the controller, the better.
Then, Rerko remembered Rona's previous convoluted plan.
Didn't you locate a storeroom on the floor above the Prime Ambassador's suite?
It is 3.25 meters by 2.71 meters and 5 meters high. It has a metal door that opens counterclockwise and a simple assumed top clock.
What I'm interested is the vertical air filtration duct proximal to the storeroom.
She showed him another of her multiplicity of maps.
Here is a construction schematic that shows the entire air filtration system.
He studied it for a few minutes and then placed his finger on a particular spot.
Here's the spot. We'll use this as our entry point for the micro drone. We'll exit through this vent, stay close to the window that faces the lake, then around this wall, under the door, and into his sleeping quarters.
Rona saw that Rerko was seeing more than she had seen. She nodded.
Here's the new problem. We know that the storeroom is used by the maintenance staff who come to work early in the morning and stay until the early evening. We must go into that storeroom after they leave, but before the Prime Ambassador readies himself for bed. It also means that we'll have no visibility of the suite itself. We'll only have what the micro drone sees. A very tiny field of vision.
How is that a problem?
If I make a wrong turn, I'll end up flying out the window, probably unable to get back in.
No wrong turns allowed. No wrong turns allowed. I mean it. No wrong turns allowed.
It also means that we'll have no visibility of the suite itself. We'll only have what the micro drone sees. A very tiny field of vision. A very tiny field of vision.
Insect's view of a suite of rooms is vastly different from our own. In part, it is an issue of volumes. We see the suite as having a manageable volume, one that we can walk across in a small number of strides. An insect views the same volume as huge, requiring many strokes of their wings to traverse the space. And there is the up and down volume. We barely notice the space above or below us. Ours is a place in the middle. An insect, on the other hand, is very conscious of above and below, and the effort necessary to go from one to the other. We experience a moderate temperature with a tepid, refreshing airflow. An insect readily notices heat rising, cool falling, and the perpetual problem of ever-moving air. Rona and Rerko were squeezed together into a tiny, dark storeroom a floor above the first Prime Ambassador's suite. They had arrived separately as planned and avoided making any kind of noise.
That was difficult because Rocco had to drill through a wall to locate the air vent, and the wall's material proved more substantial than Rona's map had shown. Once through the wall, Rocco had to thread the micro drone through the vent, into the suite, and then into the first Prime Ambassador's sleeping chamber. He had many obstacles to avoid, not just the lakeside windows. It proved to be a painfully slow process. Then, once they had penetrated the sleeping room, they discovered that the Prime Ambassador was not there. He had broken his usual routine and had stayed later at a social occasion. It was panic in silence and complete darkness.
Once through the wall, Rocco had to thread the micro drone through the vent, into the suite, and then into the first Prime Ambassador's sleeping chamber. He had many obstacles to avoid, not just the lakeside windows. It proved to be a painfully slow process. Then, once they had penetrated the sleeping room, they discovered that the Prime Ambassador was not there. He had broken his usual routine and had stayed later at a social occasion. It was panic in silence and complete darkness. But they persevered. An hour and a half past his usual bedtime, the ambassador entered his suite and readied himself for bed. Once they were fully certain that their target was soundly sleeping, Rocco maneuvered the micro drone into position and administered a lethal dose of the neural toxin.
Finally, Dusky Rocco threaded the micro drone back through the vent back into the tiny storeroom. Everything was placed back into the small workbox, and the two exited. They had been there in the dark in deliberate silence for nearly 10 hours. Back at Rona's accommodations, the couple made intense love for another 10 hours.
I lay my head onto the sand, next to you, my dear old friend. I reach out and grab your hand, take you to the promised land. I lay my head onto the sand, next to you, my dear old friend. I reach out and grab your hand.
Finishing just before Domino was to report for his graceful leaping. That afternoon Domino raced intensely, but he finished a close second. He had taken one curve too wide, which allowed his competitor to overtake him. The story years later, Domino claimed that he had grown weak from their lengthy and demanding sexual exertions. I would now tell the story slightly differently. It was not the lovemaking that caused the mistake. No, I believe it was the time in the dark, visualizing reality as an insect does. hard to readjust to an expanded reality encountered at hyperspeeds.
I am Juni. I am Domino's friend. I know the real reason, the reason behind the reason. He never told me, but I knew. I was his friend. It has been nearly 40 years since I celebrated graduation from the Military Tactics College with my squad mates in the wonderful city of Lel. Long ago, but it seems recent as last week's events. It seems more real than the dreary detention cell I now occupy. It seems more real than the tortures I have had to endure. It seems more real than the execution I know is coming. My execution has been confirmed by the exalted master of spies herself, my former squadmate Rona. Yes, Rona, Domino's lover, the renowned assassin of the Kingdom of JG's spy master, its first prime ambassador. Except that it was not so. I am Juni. I am Reiko's friend. I know the real reason. The reason behind the reason. He never told me, but I knew. I was his friend. To be clear, the first Prime Ambassador was never assassinated. In fact, during the time that these events occurred, he was never in Lel. No, he was safely ensconced in his secret spy headquarters planning additional tricks against the Empire Shyote. If spying is a game of foxes, the first Prime Ambassador of JG was the fox of the foxes. In this episode, things began to go badly for the Empire when they selected a young cadet to carry out what they believed was an assassination. The spymasters of the Empire knew that the Kingdom of JG had penetrated their various spy networks. They no longer trusted their veterans, many of whom detested the Major, and had begun working with the JG. By bringing in a new generation whose loyalty to the Major was unquestioned, they felt that they could rebuild their intelligence networks on a secure footing. Rona was one of several cadets they tested in various situations. However, she was the only one who completed her assigned task. Because of her great success, she was quickly promoted, eventually to become the exalted master of spies, the head of the Empire's intelligence gathering services. What the Empire Shyote did not know was that the entire enterprise was a ruse planned by none other than the first Prime Ambassador himself.
I am Reiko's friend. I know the real reason, the reason behind the reason. He never told me, but I knew. I was his friend. It has been nearly 40 years since I celebrated graduation from the Military Tactics College with my squad mates in the wonderful city of Lel. Long ago, but it seems recent, as recent as last week's events. It seems more real than the dreary detention cell I now occupy. It seems more real than the tortures I have had to endure. It seems more real than the execution I know is coming.
By bringing in a new generation of intelligence operatives, whose loyalty to the Major was unquestioned, the Empire felt that they could rebuild their intelligence networks on a secure footing. Rona was one of several cadets they tested in various situations. However, she was the only one who completed her assigned task. Because of her great success, she was quickly promoted, eventually to become the Exalted Master of Spies, the head of the Empire's intelligence gathering services. What the Empire Shiyot did not know was that the entire enterprise was a ruse planned by none other than the first Prime Ambassador himself. It was not designed to assist Rona, although no one in JG objected to having her rise through the system. Over the years, she was one they would often deceive. She would best them only on rare occasion. No, the operation was really designed to show the Empire the value and importance of Reiko, to sell them on his loyalty to their cause. He was to become the Major's favorite spy, the one whose information was the most trusted, the most acted upon. I am Juni. I am Reiko's friend. I know the real reason, the reason behind the reason. He never told me, but I knew. I was his friend.
My execution has been confirmed by the Exalted Master of Spies herself, my former squad mate Rona. Yes, Rona, Reiko's lover, the renowned assassin of the Kingdom of GJE's Spymaster, its first Prime Ambassador. Except that it was not so. I am Johnny. I am Reiko's friend. I know the real reason, the reason behind the reason. He never told me, but I knew. I was his friend. To be clear, the first Prime Ambassador was never assassinated. In fact, during the time that these events occurred, he was never in Lel. No, he was safely ensconced in his secret spy headquarters planning additional tricks against the Empire Shiyot. If spying is a game of foxes, the first Prime Ambassador of GJE was the fox of the foxes.
Reiko was never loyal to the Empire. He would deceive them multiple times on matters of grave importance. Reiko's loyalties always lay with his homeland Sasuke. Sasuke had survived for eons on its neutrality. But the Major was determined to conquer Sasuke and all the other neutral nations. To survive, Sasuke must appear to be neutral, but in actuality be aligned with the JG. It was a tightrope act that required the ablest of gymnasts. It was an act that required Reiko. So, what really happened in Lel during our graduation celebration? The answer in the simplest of terms was that Rona was duped. Remember that Reiko excelled at persuasion. He persuaded Rona to select him over his squad mates. He persuaded her to use the micro drone and the supposed neural toxin. He persuaded her to lock herself into a distant, dark storeroom, where she could not see or hear anything. He persuaded her to accept the limited information provided from the insect's point of view. Most importantly, he persuaded her that an individual lying in what was supposed to be the first Prime Ambassador's sleeping room was indeed the JG Spymaster. Of course, it was not. It was really me, the shifter, assuming the general form of an elderly JG statesman. She never really saw me. She only saw what was transmitted through the micro-drone systems. Of course, the JG played the ruse to the fullest, crafting many obituaries about the unfortunate demise of their beloved first Prime Ambassador. And then Reiko and Rona engaged in hours and hours of sexual activity, precluding any external review of the luxury suite. As I said, the Empire Shiyot came to regard Reiko as its most trusted spy, and it promoted Rona for her success. It is only now, many years after the fact, with the plans of the Major in utter ruin, that the exalted Master of Spies can extract her revenge. I await my executioners. I await my executioners. I await my executioners.
Appaloosa Springs Audio Theater is a creative collaboration whose purpose is to write, produce, and share original story content through webcast radio experiences.